Last night in the Bronx on a very chilly, windy, playoff-like night. What I appreciated about last night, whether you're at MetLife Stadium for Jets Bills or you were at Yankee Stadium, one of the 47,000 crazies at Yankee Stadium, is weather-wise, it felt like October. There was a chill in the air. It was very, very windy. We could certainly tell that at MetLife Stadium yesterday. You can certainly tell that at Yankee Stadium last night. And that felt like October baseball. And I will tell you the exact moment where I looked at Carlos Rodon, I stared at him through the TV, and I thought, I'm going to be wrong about him tonight. Mm. And I want to make that clear. I'm wrong about him tonight. I'm still very skeptical of him in a big spot. I'm still very skeptical of him keeping his emotions in check. But I'm also a man of honor. And Carlos Rodon deserves nothing but our acknowledgement and respect for what he accomplished last night at Yankee Stadium, twirling six brilliant innings. But I want to give you the moment. There were two moments in the first inning that defined Carlos Rodon that made me realize tonight's going to be different. The first at-bat of the game. Stephen Kwan is the definition of a pain in the rear end. You cannot strike him out. He was hitting .524 in the division series. He is one of the more underrated players in this sport, and he kept fouling pitch after pitch after pitch off. It was a 9-pitch at-bat, and I looked over to my children. They were sleeping, and I said, this pitch is going to define Carlos Rodon.
Five foul balls, by the way.
Five in a row.
I got away from that at-bat and went, this is going to be a long night for Rodon.
Is that what you thought?
Yes, that was my immediate reaction. He needed that many pitches. Yeah. What are we doing?
Because all of a sudden you're saying, all right, this is a 35-pitch first inning.
Yep.
Yeah, my fault was this is the guy who can wear him down, get on base, and set the tone with David Fry and Jose Ramirez coming up. And instead, he got him to fly out to left field. Mm-hmm. And I said, all right, he showed some great poise. And that was sign number one. Sign number two is, remember, he got in a little bit of trouble because he gave up a base hit to David Fry. And then Austin Wells tried to frame a pitch, so there was a pass ball that put a runner on second. And he's facing Lane Thomas, who's a very dangerous hitter, hit a big home run in the division series. And when Rodon struck him out, not only does he get a big out to get out of the inning, he was very calm walking off the mound. And you could tell.
That was intentional.
And Carlos admitted it after the game. He was doing his Gerrit Cole imitation. He said, I needed to be a robot like Gerrit Cole because Carlos Rodon let the emotion get to him in that division series. So I thought battling Kwan and getting him out, striking out Lane Thomas, and then very casually.
Yeah.
Walking off the mound like he's been here before, I thought was a great sign that that game would be different, and it was.
Yeah, but what was most encouraging for me is that that strikeout was 97.5. I mean, it was like heat. And when he's off, that's what he's trying to do, and he can't locate it.
Right.
And he ends up driving up his pitch count, and all of a sudden you feel like he's in trouble. But the focus is exactly what you saw in that. It was exactly what he needed to get out of that first inning. And then from there on, the strikeouts just started ticking up and up and up and up and up. And after it got through five, I said, oh, we owe him an apology. that this is not a trustful guy became, oh, we screwed that one up. Or at least it was speaking the positive into existence by focusing on the negative.
No, listen, man, guys deserve credit. You know, right. I think that everything I've said about Carlos Rodon, I stand by from what I watched during the regular season and certainly what we saw in the division series. But Carlos Rodon responded, and he responded, I thought, in the greatest way possible. And that's looking at Gerrit Cole, who's a true ace, and saying, what can I do to be him?
Yeah.
And he admitted this after the game. He said, I needed to be a robot like Gerrit Cole.
Right.
And sometimes it's something as simple as that. Because here's the truth about Carlos Rodon. And what I've said about him over the last few months is he seems and reeks like a guy who can't handle New York. Mm-hmm. The one thing I haven't said about him is he can't pitch. He doesn't have great stuff. Of course he has great stuff. The guy can be electrifying. So if you can harness those other things that get to you, you can prove you're a great pitcher in this town. And for one night, at least, he did.
It's interesting you bring that up about the Gerrit Cole-ness that you saw from how he reacted to his success. Because the second inning was fantastic, right? Two four pitch strikeouts he had in that second inning. But I remember BT and I, when it was still Tiki and Tierney, when he first got here, we got him. We interviewed him. So we reached out to the Yankees. They said, yeah, we can give you Carlos. And so we got him on. And after the interview, BT and I were like, dude, we're going to love this guy. Because he's just, you could feel like the edge. Whatever it is that a player has, it makes him feel like man, I don't want to meet that guy in a dark alley. That's what it felt like talking to him. Mm. But what we also saw in the subsequent years, and even this year, was that side of him getting too much involved in the game, right? You can't be emotional when you're a pitcher. If you're a fielder or doing something, yeah, of course. But when you're a starting pitcher, it's got to be dead focused, because as soon as you waver a little bit, the good hitters on the other side, especially in the postseason, are going to take advantage
of
it.
Well, also, when you're a starting pitcher and you're trying to go deep into a game, getting a great out in the first inning is not your job.
No.
Like, that's one part of your job, but then you have to come out for the second inning, the third inning, the fourth inning, and the fifth inning. So when you're a reliever, I think a Jabba Chamberlain back in the day, I apologize for using him as the example, but why not? Jabba would get a big strikeout, and he would go nuts.
Right.
But usually that meant he was coming out of the game.
It's true.
And sometimes that's okay. But where I give Carlos a lot of credit, I do apologize to him, is that I think he identified it. I think he identified the issue of what brought him trouble in that division series against Kansas City, and he was absolutely electrifying. Now, what I will admit to you, and be honest with me about this, I think a lot of us feel like, wow, the Yankees can really roll this series now.
Yeah, I mean,
Game one was the worry.
Sean said it flippantly yesterday. Yeah, they're going to sweep.
He did say that.
He might be right.
And I said it confidently.
Yeah.
It was more than flippant. And I said, I think you're wrong. A part of why I thought you were wrong is I didn't think the Yankees would win game one. I thought Gerrit Cole would respond in game two, and I think we'd have ourselves a longer series. The Yankees have a great chance to take a commanding 2-0 lead back to Cleveland, putting all the pressure on them. But let's just say that's not what happens. Let's just say maybe the Yankees do win today, but then Cleveland responds in Cleveland. And we are looking at a 2-2 series going in a game five at a stadium I still choose to call Jacobs Field.
The Jake.
The Jake. All right, I'll give you the Guardians. You want to call them the guy? Fine. It's Jacobs Field. That's my trade-off, all right? Now, I got no issue with Progressive Insurance. I'm actually a subscriber to Progressive, so it's nothing against them. But I'm sorry, it's the Jake. So if it's 2-2, the Cleveland Guardians, the New York Yankees, do you trust Carlos Rodon in that game five?
I do now.
Ask me how many bugs are on the field in Cleveland. No, I'll never trust them. I'll never trust them. It doesn't matter. I love it, and I will root for them. I don't know how you can.
It's different for me. I think it's a performance-to-performance thing with
him. That's it. But he's always going to be erratic, whether it's this October or next April or 2028.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. But you just saw what he's capable of being.
No doubt about it.
It's why the Yankees acquired him. And so now that's my thought of him. He's a weird character for me like that.
You know he can do what he did last night.
Right.
You know he could do what he did in the fourth inning versus Kansas City.
Right.
And you take the good with the bad.
Yeah, but before the fourth inning. So think about this. So what did he go? He went 5 in that four. What did he go in that first in that game?
No, 3 2/3. Yeah, he was out early.
So in his 9 2/3 innings so far, he's in the last two, he's been phenomenal, except for a third of an inning.
So this is where Evan asked the important question: do you trust him? The answer is no. But on the flip side, I don't expect doom just because Carlos Rodon is starting.
No, and I think what you need is a reminder. I need to give everybody a reminder. And this is not to pour cold water on what Carlos did last night, because he was great. There's no cold water to pour. The guy was brilliant last night.
Right.
He pitched 6 awesome innings, and I went through what he did in the first inning that really, really impressed me. But there's a guy who used to pitch for the New York Yankees. You may remember him. His name is Sonny Gray.
Yeah.
You guys recall Sonny Gray?
Of course.
And I think if I ask Yankee fans, forget about the rest of his career, you know, with Minnesota or with St. Louis or before that with Oakland, as a New York Yankee, when you think of Sonny Gray, what do you think of? His answer would be a guy who couldn't pitch in New York. Brian Cashman even admitted it. Guy can't pitch in New York, right? Is that a fair declaration of him?
Yes. Again, his best home Yankee start happened not in Yankee Stadium, so.
His best
home? Well, it's not even home. He's in Citi Field versus the Rays.
Best start. See, I would disagree with you about that, and this is something that people forget. The New York Yankees in the 2017 American League Championship Series, and I remember this vividly because I was at the game. I was at Yankee Stadium that night. That was the one ALCS game I went to between the Yankees and Astros in 2017. The Yankees were down 2-1, and they handed the ball to Sonny Gray. It was his second postseason start. The first one he made was 2 weeks earlier against Cleveland, and it was a disaster. He went out against the Houston Astros and pitched 5 innings and allowed 1 earned run. He delivered.
Mm.
So even the guy who can't handle it here has his moments.
Of course.
So my point to you about Carlos is if he went out in a game five in Cleveland in a series tied at two scenario and he pitched seven scoreless innings, that'd probably be the moment where I'm like, you know what? Now I'm really wrong about him. He can totally handle it. So I give him credit for last night, but I still have a healthy skepticism about him in a big spot.
Well, I think the biggest thing for me, and we briefly said this yesterday, is how if things would have went a little bit awry, like that nine pitch first at bat had led to disaster. He's getting booed at Yankee Stadium.
They would have turned on him.
They absolutely would have turned on him. But it's also, they were waiting to cheer. Like, they've been waiting for years, like 2 years now, to cheer for him and to show what his value is. And so I'm glad it happened, because yesterday in my mind, this is another thing that, you know, I kind of got wrong. It's like, get him as far away from Yankee Stadium as possible so he doesn't feel the pressure that we're alluding to. But he just faced it. And so you have to give him credit. And at this point, because of his most recent success, you gotta trust him. And I think that's what Aaron Boone is going to do.
Well, he's
going to
get the ball. And the hope if you're a Yankee fan is he gets the ball with a 3-1 lead, or he doesn't get the ball because they swept.
We'll see him again in the World Series. How about that? He also had his old-timers moment, too, yesterday.
What do you mean?
Whenever Carlos Rodon returns, he officially has that positive blemish. You might remember his game one start of the ALCS and that's going to be, last night will be his resume that gets him the round of applause forever if the Yankees go on.
I got to hand it to you. You were anti-Carlos Rodon before anybody. I remember you booed him at an empty Yankee Stadium hours before the Subway Series. You remember that?
Yeah.
I did, because it came off him blowing kisses to the fans.
I think you told him to kiss your fat ass.
Mm. Yes, which has since been slightly inverted.
What do you mean? Your ass has been inverted?
You know, I've lost all my weight in my cheeks. It's very odd.
Kiss my fat ass!
A smoke cone going on.
Yeah, that clip you just heard, which you've probably heard before here on this program, actually originated with Sean saying that to Carlos Rodon. So you've come a long way.
I was thrilled for him last year.
So you're confident this is going to be over quickly?
I am. By the way, World Series, different story. This series, yeah. And just buyer beware, Instagram, Twitter. If the Yankees go up 2-0, I will be breaking out a broom tonight on my bar.
You gotta stop with that.
I need to exercise some demons. I'm that confident.
But you did that once before with the Devils, and it backfired.
Yeah.
So why would you test that, you know, test it again?
I'm still hearing about it.
Don't do it.
No. I'm doing it. 2 years later, I'm still hearing about it from people. Oh, you jinxed them. I'm proving that that doesn't exist. I know this team is sweeping. If they win tonight, they are definitely sweeping. The broom will be out tonight to debunk the theories of jinx.
One other thing about booze. When Aaron Judge struck out looking with two on and nobody out in the first inning, I was happy for him that it was a looking strike, and fans were pissed off at Mike Estabrook because you couldn't tell if they were booing Aaron Judge or booing the call. I couldn't tell, but
he got on base and had a sacrifice.
Look, Aaron ended up doing fine, and the Yankees ended up doing fine. Soto hits the home run, then they scored a bunch of run on wild pitches, and obviously Giancarlo's amazing, but that first inning had to make you a little weak. I mean, you got to admit, Judge comes up with two on and nobody out, he's striking out looking.
If it's in the sixth inning and it's a tight game, maybe. But it was too early. It's too early.
You weren't a little nervous too when soon. Judge did that early?
Loogie could tell you my exact reaction. I was still with Loogie at the time, and I believe it was this effing guy. We're never going to win with this effing
That's what
guy.
You said, or that's what Loogie said?
Bench him.
Loogie?
That's what Marash said. He was also yelling at a tractor trailer that no joke almost ran us over. So there was a lot going on the ride.
Well, there was a lot of controversy around Positive Tommy, because I hung out at the beautiful American Dream last night to have the conclusion of the Met game. Met game went very long, so I stayed for an extra 45 minutes. We had a very good time, and Loogie had promised the audience he was staying as well. He was even getting a ride home from the lovely OMG women, and then Tommy left. He never even said goodbye. It was an Irish exit. He just disappeared.
I did dip out. It was an Irish exit. But I did like what... I am Irish, and a lot of my family members do this. They go, good night, and they wave to everybody. They don't kiss anybody. I just wave goodbye.
Well, I'm
positive Tommy gave his positive vibes, and he walked out.
I'm glad you left, though, because a very important meeting happened about Positive Tommy.
Okay.
That could change his entire career.
Let's hear it.
I'll tell it to you in 9 minutes.
Oh, wow.
I promise you. And Tommy's got a big decision to make, and there's only one answer to this. Be very careful with how you answer the big summit that occurred about Positive Tommy live at American Dream last night.
Was this with the OMG women that you are?
There were a lot of people involved in this.
I see.
And basically, here's the hint I'll give you before we get to it at about 3:30. We need Positive Tommy.
Ooh.
I'll just leave it at that. We need Positive Tommy. I believe in Positive Tommy.
That's right.
Let's go to Mac in Hackensack, New Jersey. What's up, Mac?
Hey, what's happening, guys?
How's well?
DTF, how you doing, guys?
How's well, man?
Good, man. What's up?
Not much. I just want to touch on, I know, you know, we're going to be talking about this all day, but that whole Aaron Rodgers thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think as a team player, he should, you know, take accountability for his team and not an individual player. Also, do you think that the other teammates are going to respect him for doing Mike Williams the way he did?
I mean, I think that the Jets are infatuated with him from, hey, ownership, coaching staff, player perspective. So I think they just trust him. Like, they trust his instincts for whatever he does. Now, whether that's misplaced or not is to be determined, because I think it was the same way in Green Bay until it went south.
What do you think Garrett Wilson thinks of him right now?
I think he loves him. Okay. I mean, didn't you see their handshake to start the game?
Yes, I did. I wonder.
Good thing that's legal in most parts of our country these days.
That's right.
I do wonder.
Especially in Denver, Colorado, where I was last week.
I can imagine what's going on in Denver.
You can't even walk on the street.
No, you can't do that in Brooklyn either.
That's true.
I mean, my God. I do wonder if Garrett Wilson's thinking to himself, now that Devontae's here, my target load's going way down.
Mm.
Aaron's surrounded by Alan Lazard, who had a lot of targets last night.
Yeah.
Now he's got his BFF Devontae Adams. Obviously, Garrett and Aaron have had their, you know, issues, if you will. Well, probably football issues. I don't think they're serious issues. But I don't know if Garrett Wilson would take too kind to basically being thrown under the bus like that.
Hmm. I mean, they did get in a fight in camp.
But you told me it was a fake fight.
Yeah, I thought it was a work. Now I'm not so sure.
Yeah, no, I know.
I think it might have been real.
Matt is calling from Hillsboro, New Jersey. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, boys. So was at the game last night with my cousin. Took a 16 parlay. The Jets are the last leg.
Mm.
They're driving. Hold on. My cousin turns and says, "You're going to risk all that money on the Jets." And I cashed out.
Oh,
you're
brilliant.
Because I've been 45
wow.
years.
Wow.
It's not brilliant. It's 45 years of getting kicked in the teeth. Right. And I wasn't going to do it again.
Well, you know, brilliance is past failures.
That's it. It's learning from your mistakes.
Past failures realized
so,
currently.
I do want to give everybody perspective on this New York parlay, which is too late to have done. But I took a picture of this yesterday morning because you had the New Jersey Devils playing during the day against Utah. You had the Islanders taking on the Colorado Avalanche, and you had the Rangers taking on the Red Wings. So you had three hockey games. By the way, all the locals won. Okay, Devils won in the afternoon. Rangers took care of the Wings. Islanders got a victory on Colorado. So you had three hockey legs to this. You had the Met leg early in the day against the Dodgers, which they took care of. You had the Yankee leg, which they took care of. And then you had the Jets. My calculations on the FanDuel Sportsbook app is that you are getting plus 3829, which means $10 to win $382, $100 to win $3,820. Right. So those are the figures you were looking at. And if you wrote it until the very end, damn the New York Jets.
Right.
Because everybody won but the Jets.
Because you had it. And up until 2 minutes, you still believed it was going to happen.
Yes.
2 minutes left in the night of all the sports, you still believed you had a chance.
You thought you had a shot.
And ironically, the football team that actually plays in New York ruined it.
That's true.
You know, the Buffalo Bills.
The Bills, how you couldn't have done that, though.
Well, right? If you want to include
Could you have done the Bills instead of the Jets?
Yes. Of course you could. You could build a parlay however you want.
That would have been the way to go.
Well, and the Buffalo Bills trolled us all after the game with that whole kind of thing. Because after the game...
And social they did?
On social media. You know what they did after the game?
I do
so
not.
So typical of them. They basically said it was a great night for New York sports. And it was a picture of the Mets score, the Yankees score, and the Bills score. It says a great night for New York sports, winky eye emoji. And it's a picture of Lindor, Mets 7, Dodgers 3. A picture of Soto, Yankees 5, Guardians 2. And a picture of the Bills celebrating 23-20.
Mm. I can't, you know,
I gotta hand it to him.
No, because I hate that crap from Buffalo. You're a Toronto team. Enough. The Yankees play 7 hours away.
You're right. Obviously, like on WFAN, the local teams are the Jets and the Giants, like 1,000%. I don't like to play this dopey game. But who's the governor for the Buffalo Bills? Who's the governor for the Yankees and the Mets? It's Kathy Hochul, because we're in New York.
Mm-hmm. The Bills can have her. I mean,
I'm not saying I want her. I'm just saying we do play in the same freaking state. That's all I'm saying. Like, they're not wrong. Look, I was pissed last night. I have to commend them. That's not a bad trolling tweet.
Leave the trolling to me. That's all I do.
And there's honestly enough. There's enough real estate to go around here. There should be the New Jersey, whoever. If you want the Jets, you could have them. There could be the Northern New York Bills and the New York Giants. Like, we have enough real estate. I know.
Why would the Giants be the New York Giants, but the Jets be the New Jersey Jets? Yeah. The Giants went to Jersey first, bro.
I know, but
they've been there for a long time.
Sean and I have had this conversation off air. I think us as Giant fans, we want to be here. We want to get out of MetLife. You could have it. Jersey. I felt a lot of Jersey pride there yesterday.
Us as Giant fans. Yes. Boogie and I are going to have a nice conversation coming up in a few minutes. As the New York Jets trade for Davante Adams, we heard from the owner, Woody Johnson. We'll take a listen to what he had to say coming up in a few minutes. The great Joe Bedingo will join us at 4 o'clock, but we do need to have a very serious conversation. Last night, we did a wonderful show. It was a lot of fun at American Dream. We thank everybody for their hospitality. It was great meeting the fans and the people.
What?
Did you just say Evan?
Yes, I did.
What did I do?
Nothing. I was talking to
I thought I did something wrong.
It just happened to be the same name that I was going to talk about.
Oh. Well, we had a great time at American Dream, and we wrapped up the show at about 6:45, going into Yankee pregame, and the Met game was still going on, so I hung around with a lot of great people. And these great people are mostly Mets and Jets fans.
Hmm.
And we had a great conversation about Positive Tommy, about how important he's really been to the renaissance of the New York Mets, to needing that positivity and how important it's been. And we all agreed on something. And it took a lot of humbling for me to get there.
Mm.
But I just want to first say, Positive Tommy, you're a main reason why the Mets are here what they are, where they are, and I want to thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I believe in Positive Tommy.
And so we need you now more than ever. Positive Tommy, we all agreed that you need to join and bring your positivity to a franchise that needs it more than anybody else. The New York Jets need Positive Tommy. We need tweets about Aaron Rodgers is a king. Garrett Wilson is a rock star. We need all of it. We need all the shtick. We need all the smoke. We need all the generational talent. And most of all, Tommy, we need you to lead us. So, Tommy, congratulations. The Positive Tommy Met train worked.
Don't do it.
But now you need to turn around the fan base that needs it more than anybody else. Positive Tommy, will you lead us?
Evan, what you're asking from Positive Tommy here is, in a lot of ways, sacrilegious. I mean, I am a Giant fan, and you're asking me to dump the Giants. Is that what you're asking
me? I never asked you to dump the Giants. The Giants are irrelevant to this conversation. Hmm. You can be a Giant fan. You can say what you want about Brian Daboll.
That's an interesting twist.
But we need you to lead the New York Jets, because right now, forget about our show. Sean's the troll. It's fine. Tiki doesn't hate the Jets, quote unquote.
I don't. I love Nate Hackett.
I'm just playing with you. So Tommy,
now that he's just the quarterback coach.
Tommy, not only for me, as a negative Jet fan, we need the positive Jet voice. This radio station needs you. We all need Jet fans.
But
need
hold on.
You.
I get
Fireman Ed needs you.
I get it. Won't it feel manipulative?
The whole thing is manipulative.
If you know it's fake.
You don't think Positive Tommy with the Mets is kind of fake?
I just think
just a little bit.
Tommy would have to work really, really hard to fake it.
Tiki, hold on, Tommy. You'll get a chance to speak.
Tommy's not a faker.
Tiki, in the middle of June, he was faking it more than...
I'm not going to follow up with that.
He was faking it all.
I thought men can't fake it.
Oh, you can, trust me.
I faked that.
Sean, what? How much was Tommy faking it in a little bit mid-June?
Very much.
Okay, so don't comment any further. You know he could fake it, right, Tommy? I mean, Sean?
I've spent enough time with him, yes, that I know he could fake it.
Faking it's not the issue. I love the man, so don't take any issue to this. He's one big fake. And that's
sometimes
okay.
You're just tired. You want to go to bed. It's like, how long do we have to be doing this for?
Isn't the saying fake it till you make it?
That's right. We need Positive Tommy helping the New York Jets cause. So with your permission, of course, Tiki and Sean, will you allow Positive Tommy share his positivity?
I'll gladly pimp him out to you Jet fans.
Thank you.
I just don't know if it'll be real.
It doesn't
matter. It'll be fake. And ultimately, it'll be unsatisfying for both sides.
I just need to see the tweets being pumped out like 10 times a week. Garrett Wilson is amazing. He's box office. We need all of it, Tommy. Look. We're desperate. Desperate times call for desperate measures.
McDonald's breaks out the McRib once every 2 years, right? He could be the McRib to the Jets.
So you would approve of this, Sean?
There's nothing I'd like more than seeing the positive Tommy bit get blown up, and there's no better team to blow it up than the New York Jets.
So, Tommy, we need you. This wasn't just me saying it. I think Kendrick and Suffren is on hold right now. He was a big part of the meetings as well. We need you. Lead us.
So the origins of Positive Tommy were to reverse the negativity and toxicity that existed for decades in the Mets fandom.
Yes! Mm.
Steve Cohen even brought this up.
Yes!
When they went to the NLCS, he said, I, this being Steve Cohen, am trying to reverse that. That's what Positive Tommy's been trying to do on social media and here on WFAN. And I think I've done a damn good job of that. Even Evan is now bending the knee to Positive Tommy. So, Jet fans in the tri-state area, Evan Roberts, Joe Beningo, Fireman Ed, Jet fans, you've been suffering long enough. You will no longer suffer.
We have our leader!
You will no longer sit in silence. You will no longer have big brothers like Sean Marash, like Tiki Barber kicking dirt on you. Positive Tommy has joined the Jets. Jet fans, I will lead us.
Yes!
Aaron Rodgers is not washed. Devontae Adams is a Hall of Fame wide receiver. The Jets have the best defense in New York. And Jet fans, I wouldn't make any vacation plans in January. I wouldn't make any vacation plans in February because the Jets will be playing football.
That's my guy right there. Thank you, Tommy. This is what we need.
Do you feel so much better?
I feel like 10 times better.
Really?
I really do.
I think it's very important for Jet fans because of all the negativity that's existed for years.
How
and
much
you're
is
right.
he paying you? Seriously, how much is he paying you?
Well, he better be starting. This is the best. Haven't you seen what happened here?
What happened?
There's a chance that that last minute that we'll never get back from our lives actually leads to the Mets never winning another game again the rest of the year. And the Jets have canceled everything with Positive Tommy.
So Positive Tommy has the script for baseball. So I'm not worried about the Mets at all. I have the script. I've been right all along. I got to get the football script here. But Jet fans, I'm very confident that I will get that script. And I will not lead you astray.
Thank you, Tommy. We need this. Look, desperate times call for desperate measures. And I think this franchise is in the most desperate stage it's ever been. And so I feel very good about this. Positive Tommy is now leading the New York Jets renaissance. And I know you're jealous, Sean, and that's okay. You could be jealous.
I am not jealous
at
all.
You could giggle it
up
all day.
What am I jealous of?
Is it working for the Giants, Positive Tommy?
He wasn't Positive Tommy for the Giants. He thinks Brian Daboll was, like, sabotaging.
He's tanking Tommy.
But the Giants don't need Positive Tommy.
He's right.
Because Giant fans, and rightfully so, are cocky. They're arrogant, and they should be. Where Jet fans aren't, Met fans aren't. What am I wearing right now?
This, you need to do this for losing franchises.
Little Brothers, Islanders.
Oh, I see.
Hate to say it too, Knick fans, we need it as well. So you need the positivity at certain fan bases.
Yeah. No, I think
Yankees don't need me.
He's spot on about this. Like, the two franchises in this town, more so than any other, and I'm not talking about wins and losses. I'm talking about their fans having a negative tilt to their brains are actually the Mets and the Jets. More so than even the Knicks, because I think Knicks fans have been delusional at times.
Right.
I think they're the opposite. They have too much confidence sometimes. Not now. You guys have a really good team now, so it's not any shade on today. It's more like, Eddie Curry's going to be the best big-time center. We got him. So I don't even think Knicks fans needed it. But I think Met and Jet fans are the definitions of a fan base that need that positivity. And I'll be honest with you. I can't supply it for you. I'm not positive, but Tommy Kent, thank you very much for accepting this. Kendrick and Suffren, how happy are you to know that Positive Tommy is now going to lead the New York Jets out of this horrible state that we're in?
Evan, first of all, I want to make it clear I was not part of that discussion, and I want to vomit.
Thank you, Kendrick. Wow. Thank you, Kendrick.
Evan, the last thing I need to hear is that Tommy DeVito should be starting for the Jets.
Oh, you know that's COVID.
Oh, that better not happen.
Oh, my Lord.
We'll fire him
here
if that's the case.
Yeah, no, but Evan, I think you're trying to dodge this one here, and I'll get to my points in a second, but if I remember correctly, Positive Tommy emerged from the ashes very shortly after you shaved your beard. So maybe what we need you to do is grow another 5-month beard, and we'll just be ready for next year.
Wow, you know what? I accept. If that's what it takes, I will grow my beard until the New York Jets are mathematically eliminated as a playoff beard. I'll do that starting today.
Do you want to run that by your wife?
Really? My wife will approve it.
Again?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Roberts.
I mean,
I'm sorry, Mrs.
Roberts.
That's Kendrick's fault.
Kendrick, here's the...
That's nothing to do with Sean. It has nothing to do with Tiki. It has nothing to do with Luke.
It's Kendrick's fault.
That's positive Tommy's fault, Tiki. That's positive Tommy.
It's a good
point. Blame it on positive Tommy and bad Tiki, okay?
That's a good point, yes.
So I wanted to call first today and just say thank you, guys. My kid came home with the Jets ball. The women that were behind the scenes helping out, set up all this stuff, Anthony Gallo, you guys. It was just an unbelievable time. And we got home. My son looked at me. He goes, Dad, I had the best time today because we were able to watch the Mets. I said, kid, get to bed before the Jets start because it's going to get ugly.
Good advice.
And, Evan, I got to talk to you about something that you had mentioned before about doubling down. Mm-hmm. And you look to the Nets. But the other reality is, you know, the other owner, Steve Cohen, he was done doubling down. And he said something last offseason about how in business it's a lot easier to make up mistakes when you have a lot of money to just throw away and try to fix the mistakes with money. And in sports, you really can't do that. It has a lot more to do with chemistry and all this stuff.
And
they got rid of Scherzer. And I don't know if you saw, David Peterson's mom actually said something about how Max Scherzer wasn't such a bad guy in the locker room, but he would never have allowed this OMG Mets stuff to come out and allow the locker room to be who they are this year. And so for me, you know, time is not the issue with this team. It's that they're underperforming. And part of it is I think a lot of these guys now have to walk on eggshells around Aaron Rodgers. When you see, you know, Coach Sala got the axe after he said his inexcused absence from minicamp happened, the cadence issue, he was gone. Now Mike Williams seems like he's going to be the guy who gets the axe. And a lot of our guys who are talented are on rookie contracts, still haven't gotten paid. So they might put the front up and say, oh, this is great, learning from a legend, but who knows what they really think. And Tiki, real quick, I'm not in the business of pointing out problems. I want a solution here for the Jets, besides positive Tommy. What about the idea that this defense is always playing where they can't give up a big play because the offense never gives them a lead.
Right.
And the game script for the opponent never has to change. The defense almost seemingly has to make the big play for us, and it's never the offense that we're leaning on.
It's a lot of pressure on the defense because at times it feels like if we don't get a turnover, if we don't, I don't know, generate a point blank change of field position for the offense, where are we at?
Yeah.
Now, that felt different last night because the Jets were moving the ball pretty effectively up and down the field. They just short-circuited themselves in the red area. Some of it was penalties, some of it was missed opportunities, clanked field goals, etc. So I don't think the Jets' defense is at that point where it becomes, we're sick of having to carry this whole team. It doesn't feel like that yet.
Yeah, not yet.
Now, look, could it get there if Devontae Adams comes here and it's still anemic and they're putting up less than 20 points a game or 20 or less points a game? Of course it's going to become an issue, but right now I don't think that's the issue.
Well, and I think what evens it out is that yesterday, especially in the first half, not as much in the second half, the defense failed.
Right.
The defense wasn't good enough. The defense let Ray Davis, who no one had ever heard of until last night, look like a superstar. So I think a lot of last night's loss was on the defense. As far as kind of knowing when to hold them and knowing when to fold them, how the Nets stayed loyal to the very last second with trying to make it work with a super team until they were given no choice.
Yeah.
Until eventually it was, all right, these guys are demanding out and they've got to blow it up. The Mets made a preemptive choice where Steve Cohen said, all right, this isn't working. I'm going to sell off Verlander. I'm going to sell off Scherzer. And I'm going to try to make kind of a newish plan. And obviously it's worked out. In the Jets' case, they still have to see it through because it hasn't been seen through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the Met thing, they gave it a shot. It didn't work the first year. It sort of did because they got to the postseason with at least Max Scherzer. Then it failed. Then the second year was we're six games into really the first year of the Aaron Rodgers experiment. I can't count last year. Right. The guy didn't play. So that just seems so quick to pull the trigger and pull the plug. And by the way, if you want to pull the plug, what would you even do? You're not trading Aaron Rodgers. So what are you doing?
Yeah, the contract is not tradable because of the rework and how all the things that went into it. It wouldn't make sense because you'd just be conceding that you're losing.
And what's the point of that? You don't have a young guy on the roster. Right. You're like, let's go see what the young guys have. Like, it doesn't make any sense. So your only option is to see this through.
And there's too many veterans. You think about the offensive line. Think about the defensive guys from Quinnen Williams to Quincy to C.J. Mosley when he gets healthy again. There's too many veterans. Now, there are some young players still. There's a lot of veterans on this team that want no part of being, sacrificial for whatever the future holds.
Look,
it doesn't make any sense.
If they get to a point where they're 4-8, sure. Right. But they're not there yet. Real quick, let's hear from the owner of this team, Woody Johnson. Woody was at the owners' meetings. That's where Jerry Jones is, that's where Woody is, all the owners are there. So sometimes you can get them to comment to the media. So Woody Johnson is there, and the first thing he's asked is his reaction to the news that the New York Jets are acquiring Devontae Adams.
Woody, we're hearing the news that you guys are...
Why? Was it in the news?
Yeah, we're hearing the good news that you guys are finally able to get this deal done, to get Devontae Adams as a New York Jet.
Oh, I don't know. It's in the hopper, but yeah. Well, we want to bring a lot of change this week. Unfortunate about the game last night, you know, missing those kicks, but it was a competitive game. So, yeah. So, are you guys happy? You're interested? How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Nice to see you.
Yeah.
How much say did Aaron Rodgers have in bringing Devontae to New York? Is that something he wanted?
We know that they've played together. We know they've played together. Yeah, I mean, I think anybody would be interested in looking at this gentleman. And he has a proven skill, that's for sure.
So, I'm sure Woody Johnson, Tiki, is a wonderful guy. Okay? I know you've gotten to know him. I don't know Woody Johnson, and quite frankly, I don't want to know Woody Johnson because I don't want it to affect what I'm about to say. I have zero faith that he has any idea of what he's doing. Zero. Like, everything about that short interaction, we've got one more clip we're going to play. How you guys doing? Like, what? I mean, he sounds like he's clueless, and the results have backed that up so far.
I don't think he's clueless.
It feels that way, Tiki. And the results back that up.
Let's just stop for a second and look at the business of the NFL.
Okay.
There will never, ever, ever be a team in the NFL that fails business-wise. I'm just telling you
that. Okay, fair point.
They may fail in the product that they're producing.
Yes.
There will never, ever be a team in the NFL that fails business-wise.
Because of the model.
Because of the model of shared revenue and the fact that the league is trending towards a $25 billion entity.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Roger Goodell gets paid so much money. Stop screaming about how much money he makes. It's a $25 billion business in the next 2 years or so. So they're not failing, even though the product on the field isn't exciting. And we talk about these owners' meetings. I was just telling Sean and Lugie this while we're listening to that clip. Do you know what a business, like an owner's meeting is? It's not, hey, let's talk about teams and hey, you guys want to do this? It's 32 billionaires like, dude, we got a good thing going on here.
I figured
this is
a
great business.
I figured they
all
sit there and they count their money. Right. That's what I figured.
How much more can we charge Evan and Sean for a YouTube Sunday ticket?
Yes. With that being said, the product on the field is what we evaluate them for.
Of course.
So stop evaluating them as individuals or as businessmen, because they're all crushing it as businessmen.
Oh, no. Woody Johnson's a fine businessman. He's just a terrible owner in terms of getting his team to win.
Well, it's because certain owners feel like this. I mean, not feel like. It's just it is. They spent a lot of money to acquire a team.
Right.
It's their team. They can do whatever the hell they want.
They sure have.
Jerry Jones is that way, but at least Jerry Jones played football at Oklahoma or wherever the heck he played. Was it Oklahoma? I think he played at Oklahoma.
Arkansas,
that's right. I'd be sacrilegious.
Same thing.
No, not even close.
I'm just
like a bad rivalry.
I'm just
Arkansas. And so, like, if they have an emotional reaction and want to do something, it's their right to do it.
I didn't say it was not right.
It's not going to make the product better on the field, but they're winning as businessmen in this industry. Ultimately, that's, like, we can't think about that because we only think about what's happening on the field. But the reality is these guys are raking it, and the league is raking it. Mm-hmm. It's a collective that everybody's going to be successful business-wise.
Okay.
Now, everybody's not going to win championships. Not every team is going to have a fan base that's happy. But that's the cost of doing business.
So let me rephrase that then. Woody Johnson, I have no faith in figuring out how to make this team a winner. I have no faith in him. I hope I'm wrong. I sit there every week hoping I'm wrong. But every time he even speaks, I'm like, I have no faith this is ever going to work out.
Huh. Well, I mean.
Do you get that impression listening to him, or am I dead wrong?
I don't know what to think when I, because I, again, I've gotten to know him over the last couple of years.
Right.
And I know his heart is in the right place.
I
know he
that.
Believes that he's doing the right things. But the business of football, is meaning success on the field, not the business of the game I was just talking about, the business of on the field is so different than how you would manage any other business, because it's not rote to do this and this and this and you'll have success.
Right.
Do repeat, rinse and repeat. Do this and this and this, you'll have success. It's so much of a people business and so much of an interactive personality business that if you don't manage that right, regardless of the talent on your team, you're going to fail on the field.
Yeah.
And I think that's where they're trapped right now, is managing that side of it.
Well,
and it's more complex than just getting the best players or the best coaches around each other.
No, it sounds lately like he's been very hands-on. Like, even that answer. Like, you know, we're
definitely
changing
been
a lot of stuff. We're doing this.
He fired the coach himself.
No, I know. That makes me scared. Now, maybe this part will make you scared. Woody was asked a question in which he says, hey, Woody, people think you're in crisis. The Jets, they think you're in crisis. What do you say about that, Woody?
You know, thinking is overrated. You have to look forward. You have to look forward to the games we're going to play each and every week and try to win all of them. And that's basic stuff, right?
Are you confident?
I was saying Talladega Nights. You've heard of that?
Yeah.
Remember that one scene? He said, you're not a thinker. You're a driver, yeah. Right? And a lot of times it is. You just have to go with your instinct and what's the best thing to build a team and build a winning team and most importantly, build a culture. The culture of winning. And I think, based on what I saw yesterday, I think we're starting in a new and a more exciting direction.
I think we should put that on a shirt. Thinking is overrated. What a way to start it.
I mean, for football, it is.
Well, no, it's funny because you said that about Daniel Jones the other day. He thought too much before, I forget what play it was.
For all of them.
Right, for
what
every
are you talking
play,
about
Mace?
For which one? The interception in particular. Just
right.
Throw it in the flat, dude. Tyron right. Tracy's going to get a first down and maybe score. Don't try to make a play to nobody on the backside of that whatever route they had running. Thinking is overrated in football, because if you are at the point where you have to think on a field, you're not the right guy for the job. You have to just react.
Yeah. John is in Center Reach. How are you, John?
What's up, dude?
Hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. What's up?
Brian, love the show. Kiki, big fan, always been. Always loved you as a Giant. I'm a big fan.
Thank you, man.
I got a quick question. Why does the MLB hate Francisco Lindor so much? How is he not a finalist to be a Gold Glove at shortstop? It blows my mind.
Well, a couple of things. Number one, I don't care. Let's start with that.
Right.
The New York Mets are tied 1-1 in the National League Championship Series. And I know that a lot of Met fans saw the finalist list and they're like, this is ridiculous. Lindor got screwed. And maybe he did. Look, I watch Lindor every day. He's had a wonderful season defensively. Does he probably deserve to be a Gold Glove finalist? Probably. I know some of the analytics may not necessarily agree with that, but I think defensive analytics are completely overrated. Quite frankly, the three finalists, by the way, are Dansby Swanson, Ezekiel Tovar, and Mason Winn. Are they better than Lindor defensively? I don't know. I'm not watching Mason Winn every freaking day.
Yeah.
So my message to Met fans is, who gives a rat's ass? He's in the NLCS. He had a leadoff home run. He is our hero. He's the real MVP. And awards, you know what awards are for? Awards of fans of losers, teams that are out of it. So, like, the Cardinal fan is going to call up Sports Talk Radio today and say, hey, Billy Bob, Mason Winn's a finalist. Yay! It doesn't freaking matter. Out in Northern California on KNBR, I don't even know if that's Sports Talk Radio.
It is.
So, oh, is it?
Yeah.
Jesse's gonna call up Sports Talk Radio and say, hey, do you think Matt Chapman's going to beat Nolan Arenado for the Gold Glove? Who gives a rat's ass? Oh, even better. Some loser is going to call WIP in Philadelphia.
and they're going to say,
hey, Spike,
Nick Sirianni's an ass and needs to be fired, dot, dot, dot. Hey, do you think Bryson Stott is going to knock off Bryce Tarang for the National League Cy Young? Awards are for fans of losers. Mm-hmm. And as of right now, we are not losers. Yankee fans, you shouldn't care about Anthony Volpe being a finalist. Good for freaking him. Go make Gold Glove defensive plays against the Guardians. So to everyone else around Major League Baseball, have it. Mm. Debate it. But for us in New York, the land of winners for now, brush it aside. It does not matter. Joe Beningo coming up in just a few minutes.